I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it has the power of God in it to change lives. We can either say we're not ashamed of that and take a stand for Jesus in that, or we just have to say, well, I'm on neutral. No, you're not neutral. Jesus said that's the kind I spit out. Lukewarm. There's no place for that in Christianity. There's no secret agents in Christianity. Everybody's public. Now, in other countries, you make that public, they cut your head off or put you in prison or shoot you if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you say that before the wrong person. We've got a great freedom here to be able to confess Jesus openly and unashamedly. We can deny him, that we know him. We just fit into whatever crowd. Anyway, let me get back to the two guys. Saul, if you were to take a survey, he's absolutely the worst enemy of the church that has ever been known. The church hadn't started very long, had it? I mean, this is after the resurrection of the Lord. The church has just started. Saul, he's breathing out threatenings against the church and Christians. He's going and arresting them, throwing them into prison. He consented to Stephen's death. Matter of fact, he watched their coats, said, come on, boys, let him have it. He is converted. He goes from the worst enemy of the church to the greatest worker of the church. And that kind of way it works. You know, we go from enemies to a worker. We go from enemies to an advocate. The Ethiopian is saved. We don't hear very much about him. But here, Paul is this guy that is doing havoc for the church. He's going against the church. The Ethiopian, if you study the Ethiopian's life, he was trying to find God. He'd been to Jerusalem. He's been to a place where he should have found God. But he leaves without God. He's searching for God. Matter of fact, he's got a portion of the scripture of Isaiah and he's reading it out loud. He's in this convoy, in this group. He's going back to Ethiopia. He's taking a road that hadn't been used in a long time. So he's not on the main street. He's not on the main road, but God calls Philip over to preach to him. And to tell him about Jesus. Adrian Rogers used to say, I believe that if somebody's searching for God, if he has to, he'll crash a missionary in their backyard to tell them about God. So what I want us to look at today is God's pursuit of the lost. His pursuit of us. Now, I don't think that he stops pursuing us after we get saved. I think that he still has a plan for us. And I think it's a wonderful plan that there is this element of our choice that works into this. We can either give in to him or we can reject him. The first time that I had ever heard the word saved, I was about 16 years old, and a classmate of mine called me and told me that she had been saved. I don't know what that word meant. I'd never heard that word before. Saved. That. And then she said, I'd heard about Jesus. I knew that he died on the cross. I knew that he rose again. My theology was that religion was for old people. It was for somebody else. It wasn't for my family. It wasn't for us. We never darkened the door of the church. We never went. It was for someone else. I remember a man coming and talking to my dad about becoming a Christian, but he didn't talk to us. Anyway, this girl began to try to explain this to me, this thing of salvation, this thing of being saved. And she said, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I've been saved. I've asked Him to forgive me. And I've been born again. I don't know if she used that word or not, but that's what she meant, that she had been born again. This had changed her life. And I said, that's all well and good. And she said, well, they're having this youth revival at the Methodist Church. And this is what you need. You need this real bad. Why don't you come? No, it's not for me. That's not for me. We ended our conversation, and I've thought later, probably what they did was ask the teenagers to call somebody and invite them to come. Have y'all ever done that? You teenagers, you ever call one of your buddies and said, won't you come? I'd gone to school with this girl from first grade through wherever we were at that time. And when our phone conversation ended, I think it was time for me to do my chores. And one of my chores was to walk through the field to an old barn that was a quarter of a mile from our house, and put out hay for the cows. And I was walking up that road toward the barn, across from our house. And, I had had very few serious thoughts in my life. But I began to think, for the very first time in my life, that if I died, I would not go to heaven. And I believed that there was a hell and bad people went there. And that's where I'd go. And I discovered years later that through that phone conversation and through my walk through the field, that God was pursuing me. Now, why would He pursue me? Of all the things, why would He pursue me? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. I'm not even at it. The 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Good night. That was all. I'm not even to the introduction yet. We're going to baptize after the service, at the end of the service. Let's stand together. You need to grab hold here of verse 1 of chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. That's a relatively new term now. You hadn't seen that much before. These were people of the way. Whether they were men or women, didn't matter. Because the women's causing as much trouble as the men were, scattering this gospel. That he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Did you get all that? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the goads, the ox goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? The most important question you could possibly ever ask, no matter who you are, is, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto a city, unto the city, going to Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he couldn't see. He saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and they brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither did eat nor did he drink. You may be seated. The Lord had his undivided attention. Now I want to say to you today that the Lord can get your attention. He has got mine, and he can get yours. Now this, I want you to look with me at these verses. They should be, they're in your bulletin. Look with me over in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. The first four Gospels, Luke, look at the 15th chapter of Luke and look down at verse 4. Now this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you know that Jesus is the one that's speaking here. And he says, What man of you, which one of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Until he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Are you getting this? Is this not good stuff, Matt? It's good stuff. He left the herd, the flock. And he went after the one. You think that you're not important to God? You're so important to God that he pursues you. He is after you. All those things that you felt, all the feelings, all the folks that have spoke to you, the things that you have seen, life experiences for you, all of that is God in pursuit of you. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one. What's that next word? Over one. What? Sinner, yes. Over one sinner that, what's that next word? Repents, repenteth. The word repent here means that you're going one way. You went the other way. Actually, it means change your mind. Change your mind. Change direction and change your mind. Change my mind about Jesus. I've changed my mind about Jesus. More than over 99 just persons, good people, is what he's saying there, which need no repentance. And then, he uses the illustration in 8 through 10. He talks about the lost coin. Do you remember what took place in the illustration of the lost coin and the parable of the lost coin? She lost a coin. She swept the place. She looked until she'd found it. Looked under the bed. dusted out the covers, shook things out, looked behind this, looked behind that. She just kept on until she found the lost coin. That's pursuit. That's pursuit. She's pursuing the lost coin. Why did the Lord put this in the Bible? He's talking about pursuit. He's talking about the sheep that he was pursuing, the one sheep that he was pursuing. He's talking about the coin that he's pursuing. And then when you get to verse 11 through verse 24, he's talking about, he's bringing it home here. He's making it personal. It's a lost son. You remember that story well, don't you? You remember what that son did? He thought, man, you just give me what's coming to me. I know how to live better than you know how to live. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to do things as I please. I'm going to sow my wild oats. He just wasn't looking for a crop failure, but he had one. When all the money was gone, all his friends were gone. And as a Jewish boy, he found himself in the hog pen feeding pigs that a Jewish boy never would have done. It was absolutely the lowest spot that he could possibly ever be. And the Lord may be pursuing you right now, and you'd say to me, well, I'm not at a low point. You just hang on, buddy. I'm not at a low point. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not feeding the pigs or eating with the pigs yet. This old boy was watching the pigs eating. He thought, man, that looks pretty good. Or at least they're making it look good. And then the Bible says he finally came to his senses. This is pursuit. He finally came to his senses. And he thought back home. And he headed home. Now the father in the story of the lost son represents our heavenly Father, God. The lost boy represents us and God in pursuit of us. And what God has done here is that he has allowed the boy to get in the condition that he's in so he would look up. And you may not have looked up yet. Maybe you've not got as low as you can get yet. But now listen to the story when he goes back home. His father has been looking for him. Do you hear me? His father has been watching the gate. The Bible doesn't tell us how long it took him to spend all of his money. I'd say it took a while. Sometimes it takes a while. But his father had been looking for him. Now think about it. When he shows up, he's shown up. He's lost everything. He's in his rags. He's in his pig feeding clothes. And it smells like a pig pen. And it looks like he's been in a pig pen. He's in a bad way. And it comes down the road. And the father is seeing him come. Now, you wouldn't have any trouble locating or spotting my stride now. But he'd seen his son come down the road before when his son was doing what was right. And he spotted him a long way off. You know your kids, don't you? I answer the phone every once in a while and a voice on the other end says, Dad, I pretty much know who it is. But he saw this son coming. And he met him about halfway between the house and the gate. He said, pack up your dad. duds and get out. I don't want to have anything else to do with you. You made your mind up about leaving. You took your inheritance. You went your way. So now you pack your stuff and get out of here. And that's exactly how God will treat us. Right? You don't think so? That's a big fat lie, ain't it? This is what happened. You remember we're talking about pursuit? He comes down the road. And the father runs to him. And he embraces him, pig smell and all. And he kisses him. I get the image that he just keeps kissing him. He kisses him. He started out, he had his line memorized. He was going to tell his father, "I've really fouled up. I've sinned before God. I've sinned before you. I've wasted everything. If you just make me one of the servants," he said, "bring a robe. Put it on him. He's got a hog. Smells like a hog. Bring the ring, the family ring that gave him the right of the family to put his seal on anything that the family put on. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Put the robe on him. Go feed. Go kill the fatted calf. We're getting ready to have a celebration. Because my son was lost and now he's found." That's pursuit. That's pursuit. Now you listen to me today, dear friend. If you're here without Jesus, he's pursuing you. I got a whole bunch more about pursuit. But he's pursuing you. One man wrote a big long poem. I thought about reading it, but after I read it, I thought, oh, good night, that'll take 45 minutes. And he called it "The Hounds of Hell" after him. He said, the Hounds of Heaven were after him. And the Hounds of Heaven outdo the Hounds of Hell, of course. Would you just answer? Could you just say in your own heart what Paul said when he was struck to the ground on the Damascus Road? "Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? You've been pursuing me. I give up. I give up. I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you all that I have. All that I am. I give up. So now what would you have me do?" The Philippian jailer asked, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be. Put your trust in him and he'll save your soul." And I'm telling you, the Heavenly Father will treat you just like that father with the lost son treated his son. We're going to stop right in here and have a baptism service. And I'm going to dismiss our candidate for baptism and the ones that are going to be assisting there. Let's stand together. Matt's going to come. Our pianist will come and I've run out of battery. Did you know it?